All right, y'all. Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. We are live. Sleep, my brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well. How you doing?
Bro, I'm good, man. Every day is a grind, bro. Like I said, every day is a grind. We're working on everything, just working everything. Every angle, anything that I can do to make this dream a reality, it happens. You know what I mean?
That's what's up.
Yeah, man, that's all it is. So, Village, I'm over here trying to set up Facebook Live for everybody to join us on Facebook Live. And then, of course, I'll make sure the show is broadcast on the Welcome to the Village Facebook page as well. And you guys can come over and join us either or, you know, whatever floats your boat. And, of course, Facebook Live is a little slow today. Not really sure why, but I'm just waiting on it. So anyway, Slink, we got a lot of topics to discuss today, man. A lot of stuff. So as soon as this dog on Facebook Live decides it wants to act right, then we'll go on ahead and get it popping. But right now, it's just moving at a snail's pace.
It's all good.
Unable. Let's try this here. Pull this back up and let's try it one more time. Live on Facebook. Right. You know, sometimes these things, they struggle to go live or whatever the reason is. It's struggling right now. So we're just going to keep a little small talk, bro. So anyways, yeah. Man, I had a tournament the last two weekends.
Yeah.
Woo! I took gold medal, but man, I'm sore as hell, bro.
What's up, man? Shit, came home with the prize, baby.
Came home with the prize, but man, my neck is killing me.
What's up, man? Somebody they grapple on you? What's up?
Yeah, I grapple. That's it. I love it.
But somebody did that to you? No.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, things get physical, you know?
You're going to
get your neck caught a couple of times and stuff like that. And so, needless to say, I'm a little tender right now. And for some reason, Village, Facebook Live is struggling. So this is what we're going to do. We're just going to kind of just go on without it. And, you know, I'll put the show out later if it needs to, you know, if it can go up on Facebook Live. So anyway, Slink, this first topic, bro, this is something that I kind of got is breaking news. And I want to discuss it real quick before we get into our regular topics.
Okay.
So let me see. Here's this topic. This is one that we were both following, and there's a multiple things going on right now. So here's the one that I want to talk about. This is something that I found on the Daily Beast. Former Minneapolis cop found guilty of murder and shooting death of unarmed Australian woman. Now, if you guys remember this story, this is an officer by the name of Mohammed Noor. He was found guilty of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter in 2017, shooting death of an unarmed woman who called police to report a possible crime. The officer who fired one shot that killed Justine Ruziak Damon, a 40-year-old dual citizen of the U.S. and Australia, was found not guilty of the most serious charge against him, second-degree murder. The Hennepin County jury reached their verdict in 2 days, a quick conclusion after a highly publicized three-week trial to determine whether Noor, 33, was justified in his use of deadly force when he fatally shot Damon behind her home a month before her wedding. Noor, who was emotionless as the verdict was read Tuesday, now faces life in prison. You know, Slink, I don't know if you remember this story, but this is the officer in Minneapolis, he fired into the woman from, I guess I'm assuming, but I remember he fired into this woman and killed her from his vehicle. I don't know if he was startled or what, but, you know, this is one of those situations, man, or where a lot of people are going to be upset because he's a cop, right? And we don't want to state the obvious, but the obvious is y'all found him guilty. When we've seen way worse things happen from other cops, and they've not been found guilty.
Absolutely.
So, I know I'm just throwing this in there, and I know this is not something that you were prepared for, man. But just your initial thoughts on this man, this former officer being found guilty, and now possibly facing life in prison.
Yeah. Well, it's real simple with me. You bring that same energy, bring that same vigor, bring that same fire that you brought to this, to Muhammad Noor, you bring the same fire to all these other people that have perpetrated crimes, all, and not just in the black communities, but all over. I mean, so it's bring the same energy. Let's be level. Let's be like fair across the board, you know, and let's not, you know, the justice system has a lean approach to blue guys that are Caucasian. I'm just going to put it out there. I said it. So what? Because it's true. The numbers back what I'm saying. I'm not making something up. We could all pop this off the top of our head, and it's true. The numbers show it. I mean, these guys are getting away with murder, man. And these guys, I'm not going to go too deep into it like that, but pretty much it's fair that he got that sentence. I'm not saying that he shouldn't get that sentence out, because that's what people will try to twist on us. But, they're saying that it's unfair that he got the sentence. No, it's very fair that he got that sentence. But my thing is this: bring the same energy regardless of what color the officer is. It's that simple.
That's it, man. You know, like I said, I don't have my bigger issue is, it's not so much what he did was wrong, mm-hmm. right? It was wrong. But like you said, that same energy of when we go after these police officers for a wrong, it has to be across the board, mm-hmm. right? It has to. If not, then so be it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You gotta be across the board. You can't punish one differently and punish the others differently.
Absolutely.
You know? Like this is a case specifically. I would love to review the evidence and look at what these jurors were presented to make them come to a guilty plea. Mm-hmm. Because this man is about to go to jail for the rest of his life, mm-hmm. right? That's very possible, and that's something that needs to be dissected numerous times, man. Because this is very serious. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Slink. I'm just, you know, I'm a little bit thrown by it, but you know, hey, if they found him guilty, they found him guilty. If life in prison is the charge, then so be it. Life in prison it is. Mm-hmm. This is the card you've been handed. I don't know any other way to put it.
Yeah, but, you took an innocent life that he was his job is to protect. Mm-hmm. You know, and took an innocent life, then you have to pay the repercussions and the consequences to that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, regardless if you're a peace officer or not, I mean, you make that mistake, hey, we all have to make that mistake. You see people all the time that, like, manslaughter type deal where you accidentally kill someone. But saying sorry doesn't ease that pain, doesn't reverse time, doesn't make that go away, doesn't make the fact go away. What happened. Mm-hmm. I'm always, like, telling my kid that, like, just because you say you're sorry about something don't mean that people should accept that, and doesn't mean that that makes everything okay. So that's all I got.
And that's it right there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be apologetic, you know, but you, like you said, you still got to pay the piper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still got to pay for what you did. And so I'm sure her fiance is somewhat relieved that this individual is going to go to jail,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't bring her back, and it never will bring her back. And that's what really have to understand. Mm-hmm. So all I can say is, you know, something that we have to learn from as a society. Mm-hmm. No, we got to do better. Not just police, but we as people in general.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move on here, man. I just wanted to throw that in there real quick, you know, because I just that was something that just came across my ticker, and I was like, okay, we got to discuss that real quick, because that's a story that I've been following, and I'm sure you might have as well. But this first next topic here, the synagogue shooting in Poway, California. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We just I don't use these guys' names, but basically we had a white supremacist go into a synagogue in Poway. Poway is one of the burbs in San Diego. It's about from where I live, roughly 30 minutes. Slink, you're about 45 minutes because you're a little further south than me. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, 30, 45 minutes, depending on you know, traffic conditions and whatnot. So it's San Diego.
Yeah, it's San Diego.
But here's the thing. We are looking at this and we're like, well, what the hell? You know, we're looking at this and saying, what has to be said to make people understand that white supremacy is on the rise? White supremacy attacks are on the rise, mm-hmm. right? And this isn't something I'm pulling out my butt. If you go and check the FBI crime statistics, it mm-hmm. will show you these things are on the rise. Mm-hmm. So these aren't numbers that I'm pulling out my butt. This is in black and white from the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple, right? He went in, he, one person was killed, one woman was killed, and I believe three others were injured. The rabbi, I guess he, from what I'm reading, he lost a finger, you know, and sling. Like, what has to be done, man, for people to get that this is something serious? Like, this is not just some elementary stuff. These individuals, these lone wolves, as they call them, well, they're getting this ideology, this belief from somewhere, you know, and I get it. It's freedom of speech, right, Slink? But when your freedom of speech says to go and kill somebody or hurt somebody because of how they look or how they choose to pray, then we've got to do better as a culture and a society, man. So what are your thoughts about this shooter?
Yeah, first of all, my thoughts go out. My thoughts and prayers go out to the synagogue and that community, the community of Poway. That lady that died, man, she's a hero. You know, she stepped in front of that. She protected the rabbi.
Yep.
That's and the rabbi, I guess, from being behind her, or whatever, his fingers got blown off, or whatever. But yeah, so she's a hero. But like you were saying, this is something that's ingrained. It's a taught behavior. It's stuff that basically it's. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree and from the circle. So, you know, this ideology is just being, people think that like, that it's not a big deal or that it's not something that's prevalent, but you're constantly seeing these incidents happen, right? And also too, another thing that people need to, that tells you that this is a serious issue. Do you know that the statistics that we're using are from 2016, I believe, and that was a rise and increase. They do not want to release what the statistics are to this day. They have the stats. This administration, the Trump administration, they do not want to release it. They're not releasing it. They have the power to release it, and they don't want to release it. And there's a reason why they don't want it. They want to minimize, make you think that everything's all hunky-dory, but it's really not. And these type of things are going to keep on going on. But what's happening is it's a domino effect. You have white supremacy, but people... This is not the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. People are standing up to that. And so what you're going to have is you're going to have backlash to that. You're going to have a back and forth. That side and this side. You're going to get that. And you're starting to get, and you're getting that on the religious level of it. You're getting that. You're getting that back and forth. And you're going to continue. It's been like that. Like we always say, like I always say, I always fall back to that. Like, hey, this stuff's been going on since the Crusades. So, but this is going to go back and forth, back and forth. And so people, like you said, they realize that, look, we all have a vested interest, you know, in this world. We're here together, and nothing's going to change with that. You could either be, we could either get alone, or it could be apeshits. It could be chaos. We could have all this stuff going on in this discourse, and people just hating each other, just off of the view of them. They haven't talked to them, don't know what kind of person they are, just because they look a certain way, you hate them. Mm-hmm. How silly and stupid is that? To me, it's mind-boggling, you know, but and they don't realize that lots of times you're being used as a tool. For the 1% that's holding on to all of the wealth in this country, it's being used as a tool. And on a worldwide level, I think it's just ignorance. The white supremacy is just the ignorance. You know, the same talking points that they have today, the same talking points they had with Adolf Hitler and how he came to rise. And they don't think that could happen in this day and age. You never thought you had a president like Donald Trump. You never thought you'd have a serial. What do you want to call him? He's I don't know, not a rapist, but basically he's doing the same stuff that these people are being persecuted for, and all kinds of other stuff the guy has done. So you have this unscrupulous guy as a president.
Hey,
that's a despot. We would have never thought that we'd have a despot as our president, but it happens. And so you have, you know, so when it comes to this racial issue, and it comes to white supremacy, this is like people wouldn't think that this happened, but it's happening. And it's only going to get worse if people don't take a stand and do something about it.
Hey, Slink, I just want to throw this one in there real quick, man. Shooting on the UNC Charlotte campus. 2 dead, 4 injured after shooting on UNC Charlotte campus, officials say.
That's just now just happening?
Just happened right now, man.
Every day. They don't want to take them damn guns away. They're just blaming on something, blaming on them being crazy, blaming on whatever. It's common, man, to say we have so many resources and so many great minds here, man. It is mind-boggling. And the rest of the world, I have friends that are from around the world. And they, when I talk about this, and I talk to a lot of people that's not from this country, they just can't, I can't put my mind around, but they can't either. And they look at us like we're just freaking dummies. It's common sense. Man, get out of here with that Second Amendment shit. I'm sorry. I mean, that's your rights or whatever, but you know, if they say, look, to make this society better, you're gonna have to sacrifice and get those shits out. There are other societies that have done it. And they don't continue dealing with these issues. You know, it's all about money. You letting NRA and all this the self-interest, self-serving stuff infiltrate our government, the decision, the policies, the decision makers. They all on the take. You know, because think about it, their kids aren't being put in harm, but we all are being put in harm's way. But their kids, to a certain extent, the people that make the rules and the laws, they could kind of shelter their families and themselves from it, you know, and their families from it. Mm-hmm. But eventually it all comes home and it touches us all.
Yes.
Eventually, no matter how much money you have, it's going to come back and touch you one way or another. You're going to lose somebody. It's going to affect you some kind of way. So
it happens so frequently now. I just read that there was a shooting at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And I don't think either one of us even really batted an eye.
Nope.
I don't think I batted an eye. I was just like, it happened again.
It's kind of crazy.
It's like going to the burger stand.
Yeah.
You know, it's just common now.
We're desensitized is what it is. It happens so much, we're desensitized. Listen, when somebody goes in and kills kindergartners, and this country doesn't do anything about it, it's a lost cause.
You're right. It's a lost cause. And I get it. There are going to be a ton of people that are going to say, well, the guns didn't kill them. I totally agree with you. The guns didn't do it. But we've got to do something better to protect those that are being affected by this kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Laws are enacted to protect the minority group. Agree, mm-hmm. right? We're looking at this and everyone's like, you're not taking my guns. I don't want your damn guns. I don't understand why you need an AR-15. I don't understand it. Because there are so many people that are like, oh, it's to stand up against a tyrannical government. Yeah. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. If your little militia group think that you can take on a SEAL team, I got beachfront property in Nevada to sell you as well.
You cannot,
and you will not ever be able to contend with these JSOC teams. It's not going to happen.
You think
your little AR-15 and your little militia group is going to be able to do something against a well-trained, well-armed JSOC team? Hey, man, more power to you.
They couldn't deal with the regular forces, man. Our regular forces are potent. They could not deal with that. So when they say that militia shit, you want to talk about military, this is the mindset they need people. This is what you learned, and I learned. That's the one of the things I could say that I got when I was serving in the imperialist military. I'm just joking. Well, but seriously, remember boot camp? Remember, like, you could have 70 people and everybody do everything right. Mm-hmm. Everything. You got one person that didn't fold their towel right, or didn't tuck that into that bed in right, or didn't shine them shoes right, or miss something on inspection right. Who suffers? Everybody suffers for it.
Yes.
It's the same thing with the gun.
Same
thing. One person that doesn't know how to act right, that shows that there's a propensity for people to get stupid with them. So you know what? Like a kid, you take the candy from them. They don't know how to act, so you take it. And that's going to affect people that are great, law-abiding citizens, people that just want to go out hunting, people that want that have it for home protection. You know what? Everybody's going, you got to come up off them guns. And I know people don't like that. I've gotten arguments with people. People get mad with me about that. Say, man, when you start getting in touch with your family members, when you have family members getting murdered and you have to see the aftermath of that, or when you yourself witnesses murder, and I'm not talking about killings in the war zone, I'm talking about in the city where you live, when you see that, then you'll have a change of heart when it affects your family. That's when these people have a change of heart. But otherwise, it's like, come on, you have to think of the greater good. And I'm not like puffing some smoke up you guys' butt, and it's not a pipe dream. This is real, because this is what I'm talking about. This has been done in other countries. And I'm such an alien for saying this. Like, you have to come up off of the guns, whether it's some kind of buyback program. This country has enough money to do whatever they want. Look at the aid website, and you see what they give to all these other countries. Look, they squander our tax dollars. So you're telling me you could come up with a mass pot of money. You could enrich people, and you could also put money back into the economy by doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Giving them money and giving them mass amounts of money for giving up that shit, giving up them. Because me, you, and our neighbors, and we're not the ones who are going to protect this country if something goes wrong. It's our military.
It's our
authorities. It's not going to be us. So give up the gun. Give them up. You're going to keep having this kind of shit, man. It's going to keep going.
Keep happening, right? But again, right now, man. But Slink, here's the truth, man. There are a lot of law-abiding citizens. The vast majority of people that own these kinds of guns are law-abiding citizens. I have respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
But for the ones that are not law-abiding citizens, man, what do we do to protect those people that are affected by this? Like you just said, Slink, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when you go to the grocery store. You don't know what's going to happen when you send your children to school. Because they're shooting up schools, too.
Yeah.
It's a damned if you do and a damned if you don't situation. And that's what scares me about all this. People are shot and killed every day, and people say the media sensationalizes it and all this.
No, they're not.
No, bro.
Let me tell you guys something. They underreport it. They underreport the gun violence.
Same.
Underreport it.
Same.
And the people are like, man, they always sensationalize it. It's always thrown in our face. Listen, it's underreported. Most things, man, that come out and you see it in the media, and if it's something that's heinous, and I'm telling you, usually it's unreported. When it comes to hate crimes, unreported. All of this stuff, man, underreported. I'm sorry. The stuff is underreported. You know, there's a vested interest and there's money behind keeping guns on the streets, and our lives don't fall into line with that. And our lives aren't important enough to these folks that they will do what's right for us. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. Because if our lives were important in their eyes, we wouldn't be having these issues. We wouldn't have an organization, self-serving interest, could put all this money into these congressmen and senators' hands and sway them to uphold this and to keep the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we all should start thinking like that. Like, look, man, these guys don't have our best interest. And the people that have our best interest, we need to really, like, back these folks. We really do. I mean, regardless of what political affiliation they are. Because I don't associate with neither major party here. But they all have a hand in it. Democrats, too, they all have a hand in it. And they could do something about this. And we should demand it to do something about it.
We should.
You know, because we the ones who put them in office. We the ones who pay their paychecks. I go out to buy that Wonder Bread. You know what? Part of that tax is going to their paychecks. So even if you're not a homeowner, if you're not paying taxes, this and all this huge amounts of tax, everybody's contributing to this. We all need to hold them accountable and say, hey, look, call your congressman, call whoever. Look, something needs to be done, and we want to see action. We don't want to see words. We don't want to see these forms that you get. What do you want to call? What are they called? Like special interest groups, but they'll sit and they'll have meetings about it. They'll discuss it. They'll do the research and all that. We don't have time for that right now. All the research is, everybody knows it's plain and simple. You don't need to do research on this to come up with policy. You need to just get the balls and do what needs to be done. And hey, it is what it is. It's really that simple. It's not a hard, complex thing. People may think
it's not.
It's not.
It's not hard. I think. I'm not going to tell people to give up their guns. I'm really not. But I'm just saying something needs to be done.
Yeah.
Because at this point, people are not going to give up their guns. I've accepted that. It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People are not going to give up their
guns. Yeah. They're not going to on their own. They're not going to on their own. They're not going to volunteer on their own.
Okay.
But I can tell you that if there's some ramifications and some repercussions, they will.
You're right.
If they want to stay free, right, like we are right now, if they want to be free citizens and not be locked up, they will. It's all in the will. It's all in the power. I don't give a shit. I don't care what people say. Hey, you're not taking my guns, man. Fuck your guns.
Certain people shouldn't have guns, and that's just the end of it. But back to this synagogue shooter. Like I said, until people have access to guns, these white supremacists are being fed this malarkey, right? But what kills me is it's always they're a lone wolf. I don't believe that at all. Mm-hmm. If they hop on and read some racial propaganda on whatever website or apparently, and there's an app where I can't think of the name of the app where all these white supremacists kind of gather up and talk about stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of the app. But
there's a couple of them, yeah.
I'm just like, damn. Like we've gone to that point where it's beyond, to me, it's beyond internet. people can download an app and be racist. That should put, that in itself should put a lot of fear into a lot of people.
Yeah, racism was here before the internet. The internet is a new phenomenon, folks.
It's a new way for them to go ahead and broadcast what they believe, right? And that's the part that people need to realize. You can feel how you want to feel about them, right? You don't have to like anyone or whatever the case may be. But when your message says to do what you can to hurt or kill those that you feel are not worthy of living in this country or so on and so forth, then something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be a damn app that allows people to discuss this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? And if you are discussing this kind of stuff, FBI needs to be looking at each and every last one of y'all. You got field offices all over the country. They should be sending out field agents to go and check on all these people. Oh, okay, hey, check this out. We see you did this. What's up with that? You downloaded this app, and we see your communication with this. Mm-hmm. What's going on? You know, I think we need to do that at this point because we don't know where the next big attack is going to be. We don't know.
Yeah, right? There's no way to stop that. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's a societal thing where it's a mentality. There's no way to stop people from doing these things. You know why? Because white supremacy is in their teachers that have been caught. So it's the people that are people that are teaching your kids. Mm-hmm. They're deep in law enforcement and they're deep within our military. So how do you so you wonder, you say like, why isn't the FBI or why isn't like the feds making a more concerted and a more firm effort to squash this or to make some inroads on it, or kind of get some progress and gain some ground on it, right? You know why? Because a lot of decision makers and people that are in positions of power and influence, they're white supremacists, they're racist. So, and racism benefits people's pockets most of the time, man. So they're not going to, you're going to see a slow progress. You're going to see where these guys are not doing what we think should be done. And what common sense shows that, okay, these guys, you know, the FBI, why aren't they, you know, you see these guys are putting the stuff out there and it's taking little watchdog groups of individuals like you and I that go on there and put two and two together and do all this groundwork and research and figure out and out these guys. You know that? It's not the government that's outing. I love the internet for this because it gives people power. And people, there are a lot of intelligent folks in our society, and they're seeing it. They're like, you know what? Let's out these guys. You know? And so you have, it's far reaching, man. It's just that far reaching. It's in every fabric of our society. It is what it is. It enriches folks. And so that gives incentive to keep that status quo going.
Exactly. And my last point about this, and I'm going to throw this, and we'll move on here. The reporting that I read was that the FBI found out about this idiot white supremacist about 5 minutes before the attack went. That's the scary part. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. They found out 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. To me, that says they're getting better at hiding this stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get better in the future at hiding this stuff.
Mm-hmm. They'll evolve. Yeah. They'll evolve. Just like law enforcement evolves. Because now my previous statement where I was saying that that white supremacy is deep in it, but deep in law enforcement and things of that nature. But they're making progress. Now, I'm a realist. You got to see it. They are making progress because they for every one of these plots that goes through and the gunman fulfills what he's trying to do, there's another plot that's been thwarted. There were some big ones. If you look at the news, there's some big ones. And there was one, like, it's a service member. It's in the news. They may not even put it too much out there, you know, and it's weird because it's like, that's the thing that you should be putting out there. You shouldn't instill confidence in folks and let people know that, look, we are doing something, you know, and this stuff can be thwarted, you know.
It can, and at some point it will be. I believe it can. But like you said, like I just said, we got to keep evolving with how things are coming up. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the fact that, like you said, racism has always been there. Mm-hmm. Internet, these apps, all these different things. This is just another way for them to sell their rhetoric and message.
Oh, yeah.
That's that.
Mm-hmm.
That is that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Slink. You ready to move on to the next topic, man?
Yes, sir.
And this is one, this next topic here, Village, this is something that I really was just like confused because I thought it was a joke. I was like, okay, cool, let me read this story. There are people that are actually mad about this. for you and me, and for most people in our age bracket, we remember a game called Mortal Kombat. I played the very first Mortal Kombat game, right? And of course, like any other game, the game has evolved, right? Mm-hmm. Pick up new characters, this, that, and the third. Well, there's a character named Jax. Village, I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of this article here so you guys can see what's going on and what I'm talking about. Let me see if I can close this out. You know, I may try to actually share it with you guys. Let me see if I can share this article with you guys because I think it's worth sharing. I'm going to read a little bit to you just in case. Share here. Okay, so here we go. Slink, Mortal Kombat 11, Jax in slavery and gamers are pissed. Blows me away. I'm just whatever. Like, at this point, whatever. All right, so here it is. On the surface, you'd think Mortal Kombat 11 would be the quintessential gamer bros game. While the series' 11th installment has somewhat toned down the sexualization, its bloody and gory violence has only been revved up. That's why I love the game. You can punch a man's skull through his butthole, after all. Despite the macho leanings, commenters are incensed over the end of slavery in one of the Mortal Kombat 11's tower mode endings. A series mainstay since Mortal Kombat 2, Jax Briggs is the leader of the Outer World Investigation Agency, a cybernetically enhanced brawler, and most importantly for the story, an African-American man. Mortal Kombat 11 sees him fighting against his daughter, Thunder God Raiden, a younger version of himself thanks to complicated travel time shenanigans, while in the service of a villain Kronika, I don't know who that is. I haven't played in a while. But he eventually has come back around to fight for good.
You got
to
show that cutscene of it. Show the cutscene if you can, if it can play on here. There's a cutscene like on that page that I sent you, but it shows basically, it's like about, it's a minute and 25 seconds. And I would tell every,
I should have emailed that to myself. But this is the big piece about this link. And I'm going to email this link to myself while we're talking about it. But here's the big thing. You're mad as a gamer. You're mad because a game character ended slavery.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on.
That shows
real you. At this point.
That shows you where we at. That's all. That's all that can say. Shows you where we at.
Come on, man.
That just shows like, you where we at.
It's a, first of all, Slink. It's a video game.
Absolutely.
It's fantasy.
It's fantasy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something that.
Can give redemption in fantasy. God damn.
You took the words out of my mouth. We can't get redemption no damn where.
Damn.
Like, for real? Like, for real at this point. You can't... Bro, I don't even know how to call this one because at the end of the day, I was like, it's a... You know, the first thing that popped into my head, I said, bro, it's a damn video game. What y'all tripping
video
off
video game. That's the first thing that popped in my head, too.
I was like, it's a damn video game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's what messed me up. I'm like, it's a video game. Y'all tripping off of a video game. Okay,
you got,
cool.
Yeah. You see those comments. You got the comments. We can't.
I'm not.
Look at the comments. They're good. I'm talking the people that are they're rationalizing. They're like it's like, you got all you guys out there. Just look at the comments on this page. Find this article in the Daily Dot. Look at it. There's a video on there and it shows. And actually what he's saying, Jax, the character and the monologue and how they have it. It's poignant and it's touching kind of in a way. Actually, it's a video game, but I don't see how anybody that sees that, if you have a good heart and you don't have hate in your heart, that you could dislike that because it's not on that level like that.
Yep.
You know,
I'm going to stop sharing for a few seconds, Slink. I'm going to try to find this here. I'm trying to get this link uploaded to my email and then I can, and here we go. All right. So I'm going to load this link up here and, link you sent me. I'm gonna go ahead and upload this and try to screen share with you guys.
Yeah.
Because this for me, you know, like you said, we can't get redemption in a damn video game. We can't get nothing.
Yeah. Even in a video game, you know. And but I'm serious. Like some of the comments, like I'm gonna see if I can find one and I'll read one to you. It's not that many, but let's see what we got here. Oh, okay. Here's one. Here's one. It's from this guy. Let's see, Sir Johnson of Bear Island, right? Mm-hmm. He basically says that. The same white people mad at Jack's Mortal Kombat ending, stopping slavery, are the same white people that say they shouldn't be responsible for what their ancestors did. So you don't want slavery gone, but also done. You don't want to be held responsible. And it says, huh. But they say also, too, like we said, it's also, it's just a video game. It's just, like I said, what that's what I always say, it's ingrained. Mm-hmm. And it's not everybody.
It's deep rooted.
It's not everybody. And I don't feel that everybody's like this if they don't look like me, right? Yep. I have people that I love from all shades, and I'm not going to lie to you. But this right here is just typical of the mindset and why we have the fight on our hand that we have, and why we have all the discourse that we have. When you can't even play a video game, and the video game tries to fantasize to right or wrong of the past, the original sin of this country, and you can't even, and you have people saying that is racist. And the person, the people that say that, pick up a goddamn dictionary and go look at the term of racist. It's not that, and regardless of how you want to label it, it's not that. It's just somebody, the writer of this, in their mind, they're like, hey, let me see if I could do put my little slice of redemption in this, and you know, in my fantasy world, and share this with everyone.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, how could you go up against that? Unless you just truly got that hate in your heart like that.
Yep. All right, Village, let me go ahead and play this clip. I got it loaded up. Slink, let's go ahead. I'm not sure what the Village will be able to hear, but you'll be able to at least see it. So I'm screen sharing with you guys. Here we go. Okay, so that was a short little clip, Village, of basically Jax gets, I don't know, I haven't played the game in a really, really long time, right? And so I don't know anything about Mortal Kombat 11. I just...
I'm going to pause myself real quick, bro.
Okay, I'm going to mute you for a second, bro. Go ahead. So, what I'm going to do is, Village, what I'm trying to relay to you guys is, this is simply a video game that people are literally losing their mind over. And here's why. Jax is able to go back in time. How he ends slavery or what he did, I'm assuming it's something to do with... Slink, give me a thumbs up when you're ready to come back on. What Jax basically does is he probably, what I'm assuming, goes all the way back in time to when the first slave trades started, and he was like, hey, to the Dutch, he was telling the Africans, hey, this is what the Dutch are going to do with our people. Don't do that. Shut all that down right now. That's what I'm assuming. I don't know for a fact, but I have to assume that is something along those lines. Now, if you are upset that Jax went back and chose to end slavery, what does that say about you as a person? You're more worried about a crime against an entire group of people, right? And of course, all of them are going to say, well, you know, the Africans, you know, sold the first slaves, you know, so it's not really our fault. Okay, if that's going to continue being your argument, I don't know. A crime is a crime. That's it. Crime is a crime, bro.
Yeah, all the millions that came over here didn't come that way. They came in various ways. That may have been one of the ways as war captives. That was in the case of everybody that came here. The first black people that came to this country, they weren't slaves.
No, they were not.
They weren't. People need to pick up some books. But they, you know, people. No.
people want to continue to believe his storybook, and it is what
it is.
So I'll go ahead, man. I'm gonna turn it to you for the sake of time. What are your thoughts about this?
I don't know what I can do is at this point with a lot of stuff, man. I just giggle and laugh, man, because you know it's everything that we're saying, man. It's in the fabric, man. Mm-hmm. For a person to have that kind of hate, that's a hateful ass person. That's a hateful. Delusional person. That's what that boils down to. And I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them and their family or their circle, whoever taught them that. Because these ideas and these mindsets, you aren't born with those mindsets. You're born a blank slate.
You have to be taught to hate.
You have to be taught to hate. You have to hear it. You know, you have to be around it. They're immersed in that. So they're so clouded that a video game
got them in their feelings
about a video game. So this is what you're combating, folks. This is what we're combating. And this is, when I say us, what we're combating, I'm not talking about just black people. I'm talking about white people. I'm talking about yellow people. I'm talking about red people. I'm talking about everybody. Yep. Because if we keep letting that stuff go on, or if that keeps going on, we're going to have discourse, like really bad all the time, and it's going to get worse. So you come together and say, you know what, look, for the greater good, we cannot have that going on. You know, look at the potential of our society, but look at us not following through with that potential. where we're at the point where a video game is incising people. People are getting upset over a video game because some redemption, some fantasy redemption. You can't even get the fantasy world redemption. That's where we're at? Mm-hmm. Sad, man. Sad state of affairs, man. There's not much I can say about it, Kev. That's about all I got to say, bro.
Look, and this is another thing I want to throw at y'all real quick. I'm going to throw this one at you, right? I am a Mortal Kombat fan. There's a character, Native American, by the name of Nightwolf.
Yeah.
What if Nightwolf would have went back in time and stopped the Trail of Tears? Or what if Nightwolf would have went all the way back to when the Pilgrims first sailed over here?
Yeah.
Right? He was like, hey, they're trying to kill you. They're trying to do something to you. Right?
Yeah.
Would y'all be mad about that too?
Yeah, they'd be fucking mad with that. You know they would.
As I was sitting here, you know they would.
That was Manifest Destiny. It was all right. We was gonna take that shit. You know they would.
Yeah.
You know they would.
Slink, I was sitting here thinking about that. I'm like, wait a minute. There's a Native American character in Mortal Kombat. Couldn't remember his name. I just typed it in Google and pulled it up.
Yeah, I used to use that character back in the day.
Oh, of course. He was dope. So with that hatchet, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, he dope.
But what I'm saying is, y'all gonna be mad about that too, huh? All right, cool. It is what it is, man. I'm not gonna sit up here and beat this no more, Slink. I'm gonna say this as my final thought. If you mad about a damn comic book character, video game character, ending an atrocity before, or stopping an atrocity before it actually happens, man, kiss my ass in the middle. Just kiss my ass in the middle. Give me what it tastes like. That's all I'm gonna say. Slink, you muted yourself. We're gonna move on here to this next topic. This is one that you sent me, and I was like, we definitely gotta talk about this. Theo Shaw. Brother, tell me what you have about Theo Shaw and why you wanted to talk about it. So please go ahead.
Yeah, Theo Shaw is one of the members, well, one of the guys in the Gen of Six. It was a big controversy around 2006. You guys go look it up. A lot of us older guys, we know about it. It happened in Jenner, Louisiana. They were having racial tensions, nooses being hung up at the high school under the meeting trees and stuff like that. A lot of racial tension. And there was a young man, a Caucasian young man, got in a fight with one of the guys, and they kind of jumped on him. Those six guys were involved in it. Escalation of things, and it got to that point where they jumped them. And basically, these guys, they heavy-handed them, like basically, like tried to imagine. These are kids. These are kids. These are 17, 16, 14-year-old, whatever, 15-year-old, right? And basically, the guys that perpetrated Gen of Six, the authorities in that city, in a little country town, they put them up on attempted murder charges. And it was fought. And basically, I think justice was given after some years. It was, you know, the guys were held accountable for what they did and different things. And it went through the court system, some appeals, some different things happened. It's it's too long for me to sit here and give you all the intricate details of it. But I would say one place you can find it, if you want to know a little bit more about it to get you on the right path, would be to go to Wikipedia. And they have because I really followed this when this was going on. There were news articles in Newsweek and Time Magazine. I followed it really heavily back in the day. And I could say that what's on Wikipedia, for the most part, probably not every bit of it, but for the most part, it's pretty much spot on. And if you want to get a good background of that, you should go check that out. But what we're talking about today is, basically, one of the guys, he's a lawyer now. He just got past the bar, and I think it's a story of redemption. It shows that the potential in these youngsters, you know, in our younger generation, regardless of what color they are, this is the potential that and when we're not equal across the board and we're not fair, these type of individuals, we don't get to see their voice. We don't get to hear their voice. We don't get to witness what they can do for our society. They don't get to contribute an integral part of our society. And this shows what redemption is like. And also, there's a couple other members too of the Gen of Six that also did well. So I would recommend that you guys go out and take a moment of your time. Mm-hmm. And do a little research and check that out, because it is true redemption.
It's an amazing story to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read a little bit of this, man. When you sent it to me this morning, mm-hmm. I had a little bit of downtime, and I was able to hop on here and read about it. I'm like, if that don't be it all, you go from in the justice system, right? All these things, and you have completely and just turned your life around, and now you are a lawyer, right? If that does not tell you, to me, this says people can be redeemed, right? And that's why I am not in the business. When I see people getting life in prison and stuff like that, I'm like, damn, because there's more than one person that's being affected, right? You got this person that's in jail the rest of their lives, and now you got somebody else, they family, this, that, and the third. Everyone is affected by that. That is a form of mental, like, breakdown of just a mental health issue. The person, like your father, is in jail for the rest of their life. Now this young man's got to be raised by his mom, which is not a big deal. Like, there are plenty of young men raised by their mothers. Don't come at me with that madness, right? But it just says a lot when people can be redeemed. Absolutely. It says a lot to me and look at people and say, damn, you started off, you was like crazy, you was sagging your pants, gang banging, whatever, doing what you doing. But guess what? People grow up, they mature, they become better humans. Mm-hmm. And this is a prime example of that. He became a better human. He's a lawyer.
Yeah. Look at that title, that article. That says it all. From defendant to defender, Theo Shaw, once almost railroaded by the justice system as one of the Genesis Six, is now officially a lawyer. That says it all. That says it all right there.
That is all for me. That's all I need to know.
That's so awesome.
People can be redeemed, man. I believe people can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. You know, and people would come at me talking about, well, you know, you don't know what some of these people have done, and who are you to say people can? Dog, I believe, I'll get personal real quick. My cousin was shot in the head 4 times. The men that did this are now in jail. What their jail sentences are, I don't know. But one day, they're going to get out of jail. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they become productive citizens. Mm-hmm. And they can steer other young people away from the path that they went down. That's what I hope, right? It hurts me that my cousin's not here, but I'm able to look at the positive side of this. My cousin lost his life. These men are losing their lives temporarily, right? They're in jail, whatever the case may be. I don't know the full extent of their sentence. But if they can get out and they can help others to not go down that path, man, I have to take that as a win. There's so many other things. It's so much, bro. It's so much. I'm going to get off of myself. Village, from defendant to defender, Theo Shaw, once almost railroaded by the justice system as one of the Jenna Six, is now officially a lawyer. Go and look this man up. Look him up. Mm-hmm. Think you got anything else on this man before we move on?
Oh, man. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry that you lost a family member to gun violence like that.
I appreciate it, really.
Yeah, man, that's from the heart, man. I really mean that. Man, I'm with you. You know, those like when you have instances like that, man, redemption, I mean, the person that tells you, if somebody ever tells one of you guys, like what you were saying, like, oh, you don't know these people, this and that, but redemption or whatever, man, look, what if that was you? What if you make a misstep? You're not perfect. We're all of flesh. What if you make a misstep and you have to be held accountable? Would you want a second chance? Wouldn't you want a second chance when you paid your debt to society? When you went and did what went to jail or you know, got in the system, did what you were supposed to do, and came on out? Wouldn't you want a second chance? That's what you have to. That's what we have to like. We have to put that to people. Like, wouldn't you want a second chance?
Exactly. You
know, I mean, because I mean, we all deserve a second chance. I mean, I know sometimes things are really heinous, and you know, and people do some real, real heinous stuff. But you know, they're gonna sit and rot for a long, long time. You know, so, you know, they paid their price. They basically just lived in hell, you know, so they paid their price. For yourself, you have to let that go because it's just going to eat you up. So you have to just, that's how you would deal with that. But redemption is a great thing, man. And I like the story because, you know, the kid was almost railroaded, you know, they did something, not saying they were innocent for what they did, but you look at the totality of that situation, it was totally wrong. And you know, just totally wrong, but it shows you that racial discord that was going on there and that stuff that we still dealing with to this day. Mm-hmm. But I saw that and I was going through some articles. I always go back, look at some articles in Louisiana and New Orleans. And I'm like, man, I'm like, oh, what's happening with this kid? And so it made me just look more deeply into like kind of what happened with the rest of them. And there are really some success stories. There's redemption for most of them. Most of them, they some like a couple of them went and played college ball. They all of them went to college. I think maybe one of them didn't, but he's still doing fine as well. Two of them, they played college ball, Grambling State. One kid went to junior college. Then, matter of fact, that's the one he went to junior college. And then he transferred with the Grambling State. There's another kid went to Southern University, played football, played basketball and stuff. So yeah, it's redemption. I mean, and I'm grateful that, you know, this is one of those times when you see the justice system doing wrong, but there was recourse and things were set right the way they should be, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't please everybody, but in general terms, I think things were set right. And you see that these guys, they basically, they're good kids. They did what they had. They did what they were supposed to do, and they went to school, man, and tried to do something with themselves and try to be a beneficial part of society, try to be a good citizen or whatever. So.
And that's the thing right there. They turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like I said, that's why I don't throw people. They turned it around.
Yeah.
I just don't, I within me cannot throw, right? You've committed murder, rape, all these other things. Right. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh man, what do you know? How do you say all this? And it's not your family. What would you say if it was your family? Mm-hmm. My family.
Yep.
It was my family. Mm-hmm. I'm talking from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm there with you. I lost somebody too like that. I lost one of my brothers. My brother was murdered.
You know?
So trust me.
It's a place of hurt.
It's a place of hurt. It really is.
So
it really
is. But I'm still not going to throw people away. Mm-hmm. Right? I have enough in me to say, hey, wrong was done to my kinfolk.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pay your debt to society.
Mm-hmm.
Please come out and be a productive citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I can ask of people now. Right? That's mm-hmm. it. All right, Slink. Let's do one last thing here, bro. We got to end on a funny bone.
Yeah. We end on a positive note. Now we're going to hit him with the funny.
That's it. Hit him with the funny. We're going to hit him with this village idiot. Once again, I'm away from
Florida.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in Florida that just, like you say. All right. Let me go ahead and screen share with you guys. Slink, I promise you, I don't.
We're not picking on y'all, Florida. We love you.
All right, here we go. Three men sexually assaulted 9 horses, a cow, a goat, and dog. Let's sink in. Three Pennsylvania men who sexually assaulted more than a dozen animals over a 5-year period will spend up to 41 years in prison, according to Local 10 News. The three animal lovers, in quotation.
Wow. 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 What a pun. Why do you have to do that? What a pun. Okay, I get it.
You guys are just terrible people, man. They're terrible. The three animal lovers identified as Matthew Brubaker, 31, Mark Mizanoff, 34, and Terry Wallace, 41, were sentenced to 20 to 41 years for forcing themselves on a cow, a goat, 9 horses, and an unspecified number of dogs. A teenage boy was allegedly tasked with restraining the animals while the twisted trio committed their bizarre acts. The horses that were assaulted by the men were all females. I don't know if that really makes a difference to me, but still assaulting a horse. The horses were assaulted by all, were all females, according to local station WTAJ, which also reported the animals were placed in the care of Pennsylvania Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Now, again, you know, Village, this is truly, this is sad. But you're going to get the Village Idiot Award for this one. You're going to get this Village Idiot. First of all, if you're going to do dirt, do it by your damn self, right? Ain't that what you was taught? If you're going to do dirt, do the damn dirt by you. There's three of y'all. This dude on the right.
Sick.
He looked crazy.
They all look crazy. It's sick.
They all look crazy.
They're sick.
But here it is, man. Damn it, Slink. Slink, what do you think about this, bro?
Man, I just think they're sick, man. It's a village. It's kind of in a way. It is. I guess it's funny, but man. But let me tell you, man. That pun on that line on the article was real funny though.
Animal lovers.
I gotta give it that. That was funny.
That was.
But, man, let me tell you, man. It's just sick, man. We're living in a time of sickness, man. Everything that's going on, man. It has a lot to do with all of this stuff, man. It's just we're in a time of just. No faith, and people are just sick, man. People are just—they're doing the most heinous stuff. Somebody told me this one time. If there's something as heinous that your mind could come up with, I can guarantee you human beings done. The most heinous stuff that you could think of to each other, to animals, to the planet, to whatever.
Mm-hmm. And that's and, not. And you know what, though, Slink, on a serious note, why you say that, mm-hmm. you know, Chanel and I watch, we watch a lot of Netflix, right? We're watching the show, I forget what it's called off the top of my head, but it's one of those crime shows, you know, whatever, right? Yeah. And Chanel has asked me, where do they get these stories from? I told her, I said, they have a consultant that was probably working for the FBI or the local police department, and these are actual cases.
That's real.
They're actual cases.
That's real.
I don't ever think that, you know, some of this stuff, yes, it's embellished mm-hmm. a little bit, but these stories are actual. So don't ever think these are just some things they just pull out their butt. A lot of these stories, man, are literally from the FBI, crime, mm-hmm. logs, whatever the case may be, yeah. right? All right, Slink, I got one more for us, man, okay. and I had to go to Florida. I had to. I'm hell.
Give us lots of material.
I had to go to Florida. This is the last thing here. Meth-smoking Florida man attacks mattress in jealous rage. Yes, he does. Here we go. A little bit of this story here. I'm trying to scroll down. Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Come on. Stop playing. An apparently hallucinating Florida man used a bedpost to attack a mattress where he thought a man was hiding. In a Facebook post, the Okaloosa County Sheriff, we hope you're enjoying our content. Subscribe today, blah, blah. Oh, you know. What? Give me the damn story.
They ain't give it all to you.
Nah, they want me to subscribe to them. The hell? Devil is a lie. I'm gonna go ahead and find another link real quick. Give me a few seconds here, Village. But yeah, if you're gonna do meth, you know, be smart about it, of course. All right, here, let's do this. You wanna play games? Forget y'all. Easy that was. I ain't paying on that
easy. Stuff.
Hell, I'll use the fact news link.
Yeah.
Florida man in an apparent drug-induced state stabbed a mattress with a bedpost and tore it apart with his bare hands as he searched for another man he believed was his girlfriend's lover hiding inside, authorities said Friday. Felipe Oquendo, 37, had smoked methamphetamine before accusing his girlfriend of cheating on him and holding her against her will inside a bedroom, the Okaloosa County Sheriff said. The unidentified girlfriend managed to escape the locker room and called deputies while the erratic Oquendo was fighting the man in the mattress. Man in
the mirror. Man in the mirror.
I'm asking him to change his way. I'm not going to do it. When deputies arrived, Oquendo claimed to have been holding the man down. But then he slipped out and left. He also claimed that he never forced his girlfriend to stay, asking for help to figure out why he felt the mattress moving, the Pensacola News Journal reported, citing an arrest. You know, Florida, you've got to do better. I don't know if it's the water. I don't even drink Florida's best anymore. I don't drink orange juice. I don't need none of that in my life.
Nothing from Florida. Wow.
Nothing. Man. Anyways, my village idiot pick, Slink, Meth Man. I'm gonna call the show Method Man.
Yeah, I like the. I think the meth dude is the village idiot.
Yeah, you know? I think Method Man.
I think he's one today.
Yeah, definitely. I can't fathom, bro. Like you are that high, and you tear your mattress up. Where are you gonna sleep later? You're gonna go home at some point. I couldn't even hold that one in.
Oh my god!
Man, you just
drugs ain't no joke, man.
As an adult, you gotta do a couple of things. Wear deodorant. Don't do meth.
Don't do meth, man.
That's it. Everything else will fall into place.
Okay, everything's gonna fall into place. Just keep some deodorant on your funky armpits, and don't do meth. You gonna be all right.
All right. All right, Village.
In the 80s, urban centers in this country were telling folks, man, drugs are a bad thing. That meth and them damn pills, man. Every day, some heinous, crazy stuff, man. But that is funny. He's beating the shit out of that mattress. He's like, I'm going to get your ass out of here.
I know he was talking to my woman.
You trying to take my gal?
He probably in there tearing the bed springs out and everything.
Okay.
Bruh. All right, Slink. Tell people how to get a hold of you, bro.
Easy to find me on the net. just type in Slink Grindstone. You'll find me. You know, Twitter at Slink Grindstone. The rest I'm easy to find on all major platforms.
That's it. All right. If you want to get a hold of me, I am at Enlighten My Mind, and I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. Show can be heard on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic, and Tumblr by searching for Welcome to the Village. Zoom replays are played or are uploaded to the Welcome to the Village YouTube channel and to Tumblr. Just search for Welcome to the Village. Email is welcometothevillage@gmail.com. Website, welcometothevillage.wixsite.com/website. And just so you guys know, like I said, Slink has seen the shirt design. We're going to be ordering... We're going to be placing an order this weekend. We're going to be placing a good size order. So you guys should see those shirts rolled out within the next few weeks. And I got a lot of designs in my head. I'm just not a graphic designer or a drawer. So I'm trying to contact people being like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Tell me what you can do for me.
And that
you
know what I mean?
So I'm figuring it out. And like I said, Village, if you guys want to tune into the show, you guys see we're getting ready to go live. I think, Slink, what I'm going to start doing, I'm going to start going back, and before we go live, do like a little 5-minute, 2-minute video, whatever the case may be. Say, hey, getting ready to go live on Zoom. If y'all want to join us, come over to Zoom.
There you go.
Drop a Zoom link, and y'all can come and join us, all right?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm just going to start doing that. Y'all want to join us on Zoom, come and join us. So... with that said, Village, Slink, my brother, great show as usual. Thank you for your time, bro.
Yeah.
No, Slink is grinding. Like, we come together on this podcast, right? But Slink has his projects. Chance has his projects. I got mine. You're not going to see too much more Lady J anymore. She likes to be in the background, so she's helping me organize as far as like the mental health shows and stuff like that. So Village, just know that everyone's got their own projects, but this is where we all come together and do our thing.
That's right.
Right. So I'm going to keep grinding. Slink going to keep grinding.
No Chance
gonna keep grinding. Y'all know Lady Day is grinding. We got our own business, Urban Restoration Counseling Center in Spring Valley, California, San Diego. Go check it out. If you need a great therapist, there's two therapists of color, my wife and another young lady by the name of Jonelle King. She is in there. Two beautiful, intelligent black therapists.
You look
for a black therapist, I should check them out. All I'm saying.
It's our community. We need that. We need that. We need that for our community. We do.
And I can guarantee you right now, Chanel's going to hear this and she's going to beat me upside my head because she is at max capacity when it comes to clients. But we'll go see her anyway.
Yeah.
All right? So, Village, as the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great night. Bye, everybody.
You rock and roll. Let's get it.